Turn back to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. I titled the message, By the Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that Peter did not mention anything else, did he? They came saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And Peter said, he doesn't mention anything but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what better man to say this than the one who denied the Lord? When he was taken to be crucified, he denied that he even knew him. And this man knew that salvation is all by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that. So let's look at this morning for a little bit. The subject of this chapter is all of grace. That salvation is all of grace. There can never at any time be any mixture of works, or else it's no more grace. If you put a speck, just a speck the size of a grain of sand in it, of works, it's no more grace. No more grace. But there will always be those who try to bring us under bondage and destroy this liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be somewhere along the way, that's going to come in and try to destroy this. The Galatians are a perfect example of this. Actually, if you have time, read the book of Galatians and you'll see this chapter, because this is what Paul's dealing with here. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to refer back to Galatians probably three or four times during this message. But Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You're removed from him unto another gospel. These Judaizers that came in, they were claiming to believe the gospel. But they said, now, you've got to do this. And you got to, that's another gospel. That's another gospel, Paul says, which is in verse 7, which is not another. They call it the gospel. But it's not another gospel. There is only one gospel. There's not another, but they say there is. But there be some that trouble you, and we'll see this, and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace. Christ alone, grace alone. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, I'm going to reiterate this. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. That's what he's saying. Pretty strong language, isn't it? Paul said, let that man perish if he tries to take you away from the gospel, to divert your attention away from Christ. There's never a time when we perfect salvation. Ever a time when we perfect salvation by this flesh or by keeping a commandment. Look back over in Galatians again in chapter 3. In chapter 3, there's never a time that we perfect or help perfect our salvation. And he says in Galatians 3, in verse 3. I've got numbers here I've written down by this, and I'm looking at the numbers I've written. It's verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, born of God, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you born of God, and then you set off on your own to live right, so to speak, to do right? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said, that's no way. No way. We start out in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, and we die in the Spirit. In the Spirit of God's grace. This is a problem they had to deal with. And it says certain men in verse 1 and 2, certain men came down from Judea. They came down and they said, you must be circumcised if you are to be accepted of God. This is what you must do, along with believing the gospel, along with believing on Jesus Christ. This also you must do. And I want you to look back in Genesis 17. Let me show you where this matter of circumcision started. In Genesis chapter 17, look in verse 9. Genesis 17, 9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, but covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is brought up with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. They could not let that go. They could not let it go. The Jew believed. Now, I'm talking about a Jew who was just religious without Christ. He believed that if a man was circumcised, he was automatically going to be in heaven. He was surely going to be there. And this is what they're saying. They said, this has to happen. I'm sure they went back to Genesis 17 there. Said, see, they had the Old Testament. And they probably brought this in and said, now see, read this. This is what it says. You have to do it. They didn't understand the gospel. They did not understand grace. They did not understand who Jesus Christ is. They didn't really understand that. They did not understand the work of Christ, the person of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ. They never saw Him. And they could not let go of their works or their heritage and look to Christ alone and grace alone. They couldn't do it. They did not understand that true circumcision is of the heart and not the flesh. They couldn't understand that. And so they came down and they were causing a lot of trouble here. They were really stirring up these young believers. So Paul and Barnabas, this is why God gives pastors and teachers. This is why He gives them. Paul and Barnabas met them with a great confrontation. They did not welcome them into the congregation. They met them with a great confrontation. Paul did not entertain them, not even for an hour. Look over in Galatians again, chapter 2. Here's how Paul dealt with these men. He says in verse 4, and that because of false... let me go back to verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised at this time, during this situation, when he went up to Jerusalem. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in who came in privily, to spy out our liberty, to find a chink in the armor. That's what he's saying. They came in to find a chink in the armor. How many times did they try to trap our Lord in His words and in His message? And he said they came in privily. They slipped in. They just slipped in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, that we submitted to them and listened to them. Paul said, no, not for an hour. Paul said, I didn't give them the time of day, and I did not bid them Godspeed. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Oh, he says, I didn't give them a minute's worth of my time. Because they're wrong. They were wrong. No compromise. No compromising the gospel. And it was determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem, to the church in Jerusalem, about this problem. Right in the face of the problem. That's where it originated, right out of Jerusalem. They're the ones of the Pharisees. You'll see this as we go on. So they go right there in the face of that problem, and they go to the church there in Jerusalem about this matter. Now listen. Not to see if what these false men were saying had any truth to it, had any validity to it. No. Not to find out who's right and who's wrong. It was not a debate. It was a declaration. It was a declaration of the truth. The reason why they went to Jerusalem. They didn't go up there to get information. They went up there to declare the gospel of God's grace. And put this down. Put an end to this thing. They went to settle the matter, not debate the matter. They went to declare and preach the gospel of God's grace and stop this foolishness. That's why they went there. They didn't say, well, are these guys right? Could they be a little right? A little right is all wrong. A little right is all wrong. And then verse 5, more trouble came along. Some Pharisees, who said, it says here, who believed. They said they believed. How many people do you come across say they believe the gospel? Then you tell them the gospel and they get mad. You don't believe it. If you did, you'd get glad. You wouldn't be mad. And they said, it's needful to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. As Frank told us this morning so plainly. The law can do nothing for us. The law has never saved a person of itself. Never. And this is what they were saying. You have to do this. You can believe on Christ. Yeah, go ahead. But you've got to do this too. It was evident that these Pharisees did not understand or believe the gospel of grace. Religious without Christ is what they were. And religion without Christ 100% of the time, always ends up with works. Always. And now Peter speaks. This is the first conference speaker. This is the first conference, Bible conference held in the Scripture. Here's the first Bible conference. And what speakers? What if you had Peter and Paul and Barnabas and James speaking here this morning? Oh, my soul. That would be a lineup. But Peter is the first conference speaker. And he tells them how God saved the Gentiles there in verse 7. And he's speaking here, no doubt, of Cornelius and his family and that group that was there, that back in chapter 10. He's speaking of them, how that God saved these Gentiles. And how that they received the Holy Ghost even as they had at the day of Pentecost. He said, these Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost just as we have. God has saved them just as He has saved us. Through the preaching of Christ crucified. Not the reading of the law, but the preaching of Christ. This is interesting over here in Galatians chapter 3. Paul said in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, you Galatians, you who believe God, received you the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. And here's what he's saying. I heard Henry say this years ago, and I've never forgotten it. When God saved you, were the Ten Commandments being read, or was Christ being preached? I never forgot that. Never forgot that. Was the law being read in the Sabbath? You know, in the temple every Sabbath day, was you sitting there listening to the Ten Commandments being read? Or was the grace of God in Christ being preached to you? Now, how did you receive the Spirit? You received it when Jesus Christ crucified, was preached. And that never changes throughout your whole life. It never changes. Never. And he's saying here that they received the Holy Ghost through the preaching of Christ crucified, even as they did at Pentecost. And God put no difference between us, the Jew and the Gentile. God puts no difference. He made both. Is this not all of God's creation? All of it. In Christ, this is what Peter is saying, in Christ, all are one. It amazes me how simple they kept the message. They kept their messages so simple. And he's just saying to them, in Christ, all are one. That's what it says in Colossians 3:11. There's neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Christ is all and in all. And he says, and their hearts were purified by faith. The same way our hearts are purified. Same way. By faith, they turned to God. By faith, they became obedient. By faith, they worshiped God in Christ. By faith, they received the blood. By faith, they received Him. That's what He means. That's what He means here when He says their hearts are purified by faith. It's evident. It became evident. Now, why? Why put a yoke on their necks? That's what you put on an ox when you're going to plow with him. You put a yoke on his neck and you take a whip, a rein, and you whip him and you make him plow. Make him plow. Why put a yoke on their neck that we, who are present, we who are present and our fathers, were not able to bear? He said, we never have. At this time and throughout our whole history, we never have kept the law. We've never kept it. Ever. And why bring them under bondage? Why bring them under such a bondage to something we couldn't even do? We couldn't even handle it. So why put that on them? And here's the key verse. But we believe. And here's such a what you call the Apostles' Creed, and just such a, so much is said here, in this verse. So much is said in this verse. It's like 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the whole gospel in a verse. That is the whole comprehension of the gospel in a verse. And Peter says here, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And he worded it that way, really the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, said it that way on purpose. He didn't say they shall be saved even as we, because that's what the Jews were trying to do. They said, now, if you're going to be saved like us, this is what you have to do. No, he said, we Jews are going to be saved just just like them. That's what he's saying. We shall be saved even as they. We believe. And here's what he's saying. And this is what the church believes to this day. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. We believe that salvation is all of grace. The believer understands that. Now, you can explain it all day long to an unbeliever and he's still not going to get it. But the believer understands that his salvation or her salvation from Alpha to Omega is totally 100% of grace without any effort ever on my part and her part, their part. From our election in Christ to our final glory, it's all grace. I wish I could say that like it needs to be said. It's all of grace. What is it that the apostles believed here and preached that's bound up in this verse? I can only just give you just a little salting of it. You put a little salt on your food. I can just give you a little salting. That's all. Here's what they believed and preached when Peter said this. This is in this verse. That man is totally 100% dead dead in trespasses and sins. He is totally depraved, or it would not be all of grace. If there is an ounce of life in you, if there is just an ounce of something that you can do, a spark, it's not all of grace. So when he says it's all of grace, he's saying you're all dead. You're all dead. And then he says, he's saying this, that God chose the people in Christ, or it would not be all of grace. If God, if it's like it is in today's preaching, that the Lord is waiting for me to choose Him, that's not all of grace. All of grace is God choosing me. Unconditional. Absolutely 100% unconditional. God choosing me. And then that salvation is according to the will of God, or it would not be all of grace. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. If it's not all according to God's will, and not human will, if my will ever, the will I've born with, if it ever enters into it, it's not all of grace. That's why Peter said it's all of grace. We believe that the atonement of Christ is effectual to put away all our sins. My repentance, which is a gift of God, has never put away a sin. It has never put away one sin. I could weep from now to the time I die, and it will not wash away one sin. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. We believe that God's grace will prevail, or it would not be all of grace. If at any point His grace comes to this point, then I must come to this point, it would not be all of grace. It wouldn't be. We believe that the saints will persevere until the end, or it would not be all of grace. If at any time I have to take over, it would not be all of grace. He's not my co-pilot. You know what that means? It means I'm flying this thing. If I need him, I'll call on him. That's what you do to a co-pilot. A co-pilot is there if you can't handle it. I can't handle it from start to finish. I couldn't get the thing off the ground. Couldn't do it. It won't fly. It's all of grace. Grace, as John Newton said, has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. It'll lead us home. He's saying that salvation is all of grace. When we believe, and he says this, and we believe that we shall be saved even as they. Now, God humbled that man, didn't he? God humbled that man. He said, we Jews shall be saved the same way as those Gentile dogs are saved. Same way. By the grace of God, through the blood and righteousness of His Son. This is a blow to self-righteousness. Those pious Pharisees standing there, we kept the law. They didn't keep anything. But they claimed they kept the law, that they were so clean. They were so pure. And Peter says, if God saves us, if God saves any of us Jews, it'll have to be the same way He saves those Gentiles. Have to be. There's only one door. Christ said, I'm the door. And even though the Jews had the Word of God, they had the sacrifices, they had the ceremonies, none of these things ever saved one of them. Never. Never. Everyone who has ever been saved, from Adam to the last one, has been saved by the grace of God. through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone has been saved by the... And he says this, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had said by the grace of God, then Jews said, well, we believe that. But he used that name that was so contemptible among them in Jerusalem, those Pharisees. He used that name. And in doing so, he used it in a way that he put him on equal footing with God. He said, by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the one you nailed to the cross, by the grace of the one whose face you spit in, by the grace of the one whose hair you plucked out, by the grace of the one that you despised and rejected. We believe that by his grace we shall be saved, even as those Gentiles. Put himself on the same footing. God saves the outwardly moral person. Outwardly, I said. Nobody's that way inwardly. Nobody's that way inwardly. One time, Vicki was telling me, this has been years ago. I'm going to use this as an example. I've debated on it, but I'm going to. As a lady she was talking to, she was bragging. And when she got married, she was a virgin. Just bragging about it. Well, that's good. But not in her heart she wasn't. I guarantee you. There ain't a one of us ever got married with a virgin heart. There's more fornication committed in this heart than all the brothels and dives in this whole world put together. That's the truth. And this is what Peter is saying. This Pharisee were saying, here's what they're saying now. This is what they're saying. We're virgins. That's what they're saying. And Peter said, well, not in your heart you're not. We have never kept the law. Never. You see, we go by degrees of sin. We have a problem with putting measures on sin. You know, we say, this is worse, this is worse. This is bad, and this is not as bad. God sees sin as sin. And you know where the worst of all of them is? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the worst of all sins. Make you look down your nose at everyone else, including God. Because that's what they did to Christ. They looked down their nose at Him, who is God. That's what self-righteousness will do. That's what it will do. And he's saying here, God saves the outwardly moral person the same way He saves the openly vile sinner. By grace. By grace. By the grace of God, through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter does not mention ceremonies. He doesn't mention baptism. He doesn't mention the Lord's table. He speaks only of grace. Only of grace. Spurgeon said this. To be kept from overt offenses is a favor for you to be grateful. Be grateful if God has kept you from some things. You know, He's restrained. You know, there are things I haven't done because God restrained me. There were some things believe me, there's a whole lot of things I wanted to do that God did not let me do as a young man, a teenager. We have a great capacity for sin. A great capacity. The Scripture says we drink sin like water. We drink iniquity like water. Spurgeon said, to be kept from overt offenses is a favor for you to be grateful, but not a virtue for you to trust in. Isn't that a statement? It's something to be grateful for. Because there are things that we can do. And God forgive us of it, but the consequences follow us throughout our life. They can follow us. And we can be thankful for being kept from those things, but my soul don't trust in them. It's like I like to say that, like, that's fine, but don't trust in it. That could be your ticket to hell. But you can't give it up. You can't give up this confidence. This is your righteousness. This is your acceptance before God. God saves the mother of Israel the same as He saves the mother of harlots by His grace. Because it's constraining grace. Sovereign constraint. That's what it is. Be thankful that you have been kept from gross sins. But remember this. And you will. If you're a child of God, you'll remember this. Your heart that old heart is still just as dead and black as everybody else's. If God did not sovereignly constrain society, we couldn't live here. We would be extinct in about a week. We would. If you was able to kill everybody that you hated, everybody that you got mad at without a cause, I'm telling you the truth, by the end of the week, we'd all be dead. That's truth, then. That's truth people don't want to hear. I couldn't say that to Oprah. She wouldn't have. It wouldn't be one of those epiphanies that she gets. But that's the truth. If God took away His constraint and let you, that old heart I'm talking about, that old nature, let it have its way, we'd all be dead in just a short period of time. We all need the grace of God. And it said in verse 12, all the multitude kept silence. God shut their mouth. The gospel was being preached in power. Oh, the power of that day. Power. And then Paul stands up. I'll close this. Paul stands up to speak, and he declared what miracles and wonders God wrought among the Gentiles there in verse 12. The grace of God was at work among the Gentiles. He said, God is saving these Gentiles, just like He saved us. And then James stood up to speak. And you know what he did? He stood up to speak and backed up Peter's message. Just like I'm backing up Frank's message this morning. There in verse 14. And you know why he backed up Peter's message? Because Peter's message agreed with the Word of God. Look in verse 15 and 17. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. He said, Peter's message agrees with the Word of God. That's what he said. Our message must agree with the Word of God. That's what happened when I heard Henry on television. I told Henry this. I said, what I was reading matched what you were saying. For the first time that happened. All other times I was like, I remember telling the person there one time, I said, there's something missing. It was Christ. It was the gospel. But being that I had made a profession, you know, I believed it. And they used the Bible, and they used the name Jesus, and they used the name gospel. It was another Jesus, and it was another gospel. We still had these among us. They just changed their faces, chameleons, to fit the situation. We still have. Our message must always agree with the Word of God. Salvation by grace is not new. It's Bible through and through. It is. And he says in verse 18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. This has been in the purpose of God. This has been in the purpose of God before He created the world. This is not new. It's new to me. There's a lot of things new to me. I don't know much. It doesn't take much for somebody to teach me something. That's new to me. But not new to God. Known unto him are all his works. All of them. This is not new. Salvation was not an afterthought with God. This has all been taken care of. The saving of the Gentiles is not a new revelation. It's a clear revelation now. But it's not a new revelation. The Old Testament is full of this prophecy. He told Abraham, he said that all nations would be blessed through his seed. That seed is Christ. And he's talking about all of us. We'll be blessed through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not born of God, you can't comprehend this. And you'll take the scriptures and you'll twist them. And you'll say, well, this is what it's saying. Then you'll try to go teach others, make proselytes, make them twofold with children of hell. That's what you end up doing. But if God gives you an understanding, you say, there it is. He said, well, he was talking about that all the way back when he's talking to Abraham. And so they concluded by writing and sending a letter here in verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now let me read you some verses. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, that they don't partake of idolatry, ceremonies. They don't get caught up in that. From fornication, that's all evils. I mean, it was just, any sexual device was just, it was just okay. Just like it's become in our day. And from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every day. We only need to send this letter to the Gentile churches because those even are saved among the Jews know not to have anything to do with these idols. This pollution of idols and fornication. He said they've been taught that all their life. And I think that's what he's saying there. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. Now, they went out from us, but what's the scripture say? They were not of us. They were not of us. Subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. That did not come from us. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. These are just necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you'll do well, fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. For this such comfort. No, you don't have to do these things. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do anything to keep yourselves or do anything to be saved. It's all by the grace of God. And they said, whew. You know they did. They went, whew. Man, aren't you glad of that? Because if God made you to know your heart, if you know your heart, and somebody comes in here and says, now you need to keep this and this and this, and you're going, and you, especially if you're a young believer, and you're going, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, those Jews would have been wise when the Lord, when all those things were read to them, and he said that you keep these things, and you know what they said? We'll do it. We'll do it. Oh, I can't do it. Lord, I can't do this. You do it. You do it. By the grace of God, we shall be saved, even as the worst, vilest person on this earth, we shall be saved, because we're all just the same. We're all men and women of like fashion. All right, Mike.